Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator of this podcast and the information shared within it, I intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. Welcome to Project I Am, the podcast where we dive deep into the ideas that shape our personal growth, our relationships, and our mental well-being. I'm your host, Dr. David Schloss, and today I really want to talk about boundaries because I think the term and the way we use boundaries has really caused some damage, and maybe it would be helpful for us to think about boundaries in a different way. You see, boundaries really became a buzzword in recent years. You hear boundaries mentioned in self-help books, in social media posts, therapy sessions, everyday conversations. People will oftentimes give each other advice where they say, well, you need to set a boundary with that person, set firm boundaries, or that's a boundary violation. I can't believe they did that. But what is it that we really mean when we talk about boundaries? Are boundaries just about keeping people out? Or is there a way to see them as something different, as meeting places, as spaces where relationships can grow healthier and even be more fulfilling? So in today's episode, we'll unpack what boundaries really mean in relationships, the psychological origins of the concept of boundaries and how it evolved into mainstream media and became this big idea that is now a buzzword. And we'll look at two different ways to think about boundaries, including an alternative approach that focuses on connection rather than division. Because at the end of the day, our boundaries shouldn't hurt people. Our boundaries should not just keep ourselves safe, but our boundaries should keep other people safe too. And as always, we'll draw from recent psychological research to ground our discussion in science. So whether you've struggled to set boundaries, felt guilty for enforcing them, or wondered if there's a different way to think about them, this episode is for you. So let's start with a simple question. What exactly are boundaries? Well, in psychological terms, boundaries refer to the limits we set in our relationships to define what is acceptable and what is not. Boundaries refer to the limits we set in our relationships, right? To define how we can be treated, what's okay and what isn't. And these boundaries, they help protect us. They protect our emotional well-being, our physical well-being. They help us maintain autonomy, and they create a sense of safety in our interaction with others. But let's go a bit deeper. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, in their best-selling book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes and to Say No to Take Control of Your Life, when this book first came out in 1992, they described boundaries as invisible property lines that separate what is ours from what belongs to others. This applies to things like time, mental energy, and even our physical space. Recent psychological research has refined this definition even more. In 2022, a study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships found that people with clearly communicated relational boundaries, well, they report higher satisfaction in both romantic and platonic relationships. Well, why? Because in having clear boundaries, they reduce ambiguity, they minimize resentment, and they promote mutual respect. This is healthy. These things are good, right? And so there are different types of boundaries. There are physical boundaries. I need space right now. I'm gonna go for a walk, right? You're creating a boundary. You're removing yourself from the situation, or you're asking the other person to leave. They can have emotional boundaries. I can support you, but I can't take on all of your feelings. Or this is a bit much for me. I need some emotional space. They're time boundaries. Hey, I can't stay late every night to work longer. I need to finish at 6 p.m. or something like that. They're mental boundaries. I respect your beliefs, but I have my own perspective. Right, so there are different types of boundaries. In essence, boundaries really help define the balance between closeness and individuality. Boundaries keep us from being enmeshed with somebody else. But in today's culture, right, they're sometimes misrepresented as barriers that sometimes push people away rather than structures designed to support healthy connection. Where did this concept come from? Well, boundaries may seem like a modern-day self-help trend, but really, their psychological roots run deep. The idea about boundaries in psychology dates back to Freud and his psychoanalytic work in the early 20th century. Freud suggested that psychological health depends on maintaining a strong sense of self while still navigating healthy relationships with others. He emphasized the importance of quote-unquote psychic space, a precursor to the boundary discussions that we have today. And then later, Erik Erikson, in his Stages of Psychosocial Development, which he developed in 1950, he introduced the idea that healthy relationships require differentiation, knowing where you end and the others begin. And this was particularly emphasized in adolescence and adulthood, where autonomy and intimacy must coexist. And now this modern concept of boundaries, as we know it, was shaped by family systems therapy in the 70s by Dr. Murray Bowen. And Bowen's work focused on emotional differentiation, the ability to maintain our own emotional identity even while staying connected to close family members. And he argued that people who lack boundaries tend to become enmeshed in other people's emotions, leading to codependency, which of course, around that time in the 70s, became a big topic and can still be quite a big topic today. Well, when we fast forward to the 90s and the early 2000s, and boundaries became a mainstream concept in pop psychology, books like Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend and The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown emphasize the need for setting limits in relationships in order to foster self-worth and personal growth. But here's where things took a bit of a turn. With the rise of social media, boundaries became buzzwords often used to justify cutting people off rather than improving relationships and communication. The conversation shifted from setting boundaries for mutual respect to cutting off toxic people. And while some relationships do need distance, a nuanced approach to boundaries can help us navigate challenges without always resorting to disconnection as the only option. I think nowadays, so often when I speak to people, it's either all or nothing. And we struggle to tolerate ambiguity and attention that is sometimes okay to have in a relationship. So I want to introduce a different way of thinking about boundaries. What if boundaries weren't just about separation, but about meeting places? Instead of seeing boundaries as solid walls, right, that are 8 feet high, we can see them as gates. As structures that open and close depending on what's needed. You can see your boundary as a drawbridge that you can lift or close depending who you're communicating with. I oftentimes think about the farms in Ireland, and I know I'm romanticizing this, but I think about those stone walls, right, that are only waist high in between the properties. And I think about Farmer Brown speaking to Farmer Smith about Bessie the cow and how she's recently given birth, and how they both have their flasks of tea, and they pour tea and eat rusks and talk about how their farms are doing at their boundary wall. Boundaries can be meeting places that facilitate healthy communication. And as these two farmers communicate, Farmer Brown is staying in his property and Farmer Smith is staying in his property, but they're communicating in a healthy way at this boundary line. I think this is really important, to think of boundaries as meeting places where we can facilitate healthy communication and good relationship. Esther Perel, a well-known therapist and relationship expert, well, she describes boundaries as negotiation points in relationships. She argues that instead of saying, "This is my boundary, take it or leave it," we can say something like, "This is really important to me. How can we work together to honor both of our needs?" For example, instead of saying, "I don't want to talk about this, this is my boundary," we might say, "I need some time to process this before we talk. Can we revisit it tomorrow?" And see, when we do things this way, it keeps the conversation open, keeps the communication going, rather than shutting down. I think we should think about boundaries as jello, rather than as these solid walls. And I know this is kind of a funny concept to think about boundaries as jello, but I oftentimes think about someone running into someone else's boundary. They didn't mean to, but they were running along and they hit the solid wall and they get hurt because they hit someone's boundary. That someone is saying, this is a no-go area, right? Your boundaries shouldn't hurt other people. When I think about a boundary being more like jello, and if I run into your boundary and it's a jello boundary, I run into it and I bounce back because I feel resistance. I feel like this is a no-go area. I can't seem to get through here, but I didn't hurt myself by running into it. Also, jello's a little bit translucent. It lets light through, slightly transparent, right? So you can see through it a little bit to what may be on the other side. And it's not totally clear, but it does shed light. And I think boundaries that are like jello, when we implement our boundaries like jello rather than like brick walls, we don't hurt other people nearly as much. So how can you talk about and how can you set boundaries in a way that fosters connection rather than cutting people off or causing harm? Well, one, communicate early and often. Boundaries should be expressed before resentment builds. Instead of waiting until you're frustrated, set expectations early. Secondly, use I statements. Instead of saying, you're always taking up my time, try to say something like, hey, I need more time for myself in order to recharge and be more present. Be flexible, not rigid. Boundaries aren't about maintaining control. If your partner or friend has different needs, be willing to find a middle ground. Be flexible. And then also consider cultural and relational contexts. Not all relationships require the same level of boundaries. A close friendship may require more fluidity than a work relationship. Boundaries shouldn't be about control or avoidance, but they should be about creating a healthy space where relationships can thrive. In fact, when you meet somebody that says they have really good boundaries, that should be a healthy thing for you. That should make you want to be in relationship with them rather than make you think of somebody that is really rigid and avoidant, right? So at the end of the day, boundaries are powerful tools, but they're not about building walls. They're about creating relationships that feel safe, open, and mutually fulfilling. This week, I challenge you to think through the following things. Where can you express your boundaries more clearly? And where can you be softer in your boundaries in order to foster connection? That's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Project I Am. I hope you found this episode helpful. Share it with someone who might need it. See you next time, and may you be well.
The weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're going to love it.